How much stock, if any, do you put into the pull-ups?
Well, you know what? When you see a player like that that's rated so highly and there's something that he can't do, it almost works more for him than against him. The fact that there's still that development left to be done is something significant. So when you're already that talented, the fact that you can't do something, it's almost a plus rather than a minus.
That's a very interesting way to look at it. I would agree with you. And especially when, you know, he was very honest about it. He goes, hey, upper body strength. And he said this weeks in. That's not his forte right now. And it hasn't hurt him to this point. And that's really kind of shows what there's a lot of players that get by on pure talent. And, you know, he's got an incredible desire on the ice and people love what he does. And he's not afraid to fight guys 20 pounds heavier and do very well in those fights, I should add. That, you know, this is just something that I'm probably will inspire him to say, you know what, I am never going to an event like that again and not being able to do at least a pull-up. I'm going to make sure I can do 10.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a good lesson, too, for young players out there. The way that we're structured right now, we tend to train hockey players. We don't necessarily train athletes. And the guys that have the better athletic capabilities long-term are generally the guys who end up being the best players. So, you know, for him, he's a young guy. There's still lots of room for him to improve on that. And that's obviously something he hasn't focused on a whole lot in his life, and he's made it this far. So, like I said, it should end up working more for him than against him.
Have you seen in previous years, Ross, did a player having exceptional numbers at the Prospects Weekend ever result in them really having any sort of significant movement on draft day?
Not really. The one player that comes to mind is I remember Malcolm Subban doing some tests, and especially the vertical leap, just blowing everybody away with his explosive power. And there was a lot of chatter about him that week, whether it helped his stock, whether he would have gone two picks after the Bruins took him, I don't know. We'll never know. So it's nice. It's good stuff to see, and it helps create a plan for those prospects moving forward. It's valuable information. But for the most part, it really isn't as relevant as the whole rest of the year has been.
Ross McLean from ISS joins us. Ross, the rankings, the centers here in Edmonton, Oilers fans are very curious about you know, the top centers in this draft. Draisaitl, Bennett, Reinhart, even Nylander to some extent. Where do you have them ranked, and how much of a gap, if any, do you have between them?
Well, right now we have an upper-tier player. Sam Reinhart is our number one ranked player. Center out of Kootenay. Right after him, we have Michael Dal-Col, who's also played on the wing, and Sam Bennett, who's also played on the wing. So both those guys have shown to be very versatile, and they're at 3 and 4, those two respectively. And then Draisaitl we have at 6, and they round out our top centers. After that, we have Robbie Fabbri at 8. So there is kind of that upper tier right now, and it's really, in most people's minds, it's a race between Reinhart, Ekblad, and Bennett in terms of who's going to be number one. In terms of those centers, I really believe that Dal-Col does deserve some mention, as well as Draisaitl, in that conversation, because any combination of those guys could go 1, 2, 3. I doubt we'll see anything outside of that, but stranger things have happened. So those guys are all very similar. They all provide something a little bit different from one another. Reinhart being a very cerebral, intelligent, Patrice Bergeron-style player. Dal-Col being a more, you know, plant himself, more of a shooting player. Bennett being a little bit more fiery and wild and has that energy to take the puck to the net and really get under people's skin. And Draisaitl is the playmaker. He likes to set it up on the half wall. He has the vision. So each one of them offers something a little bit different than the other, and it really comes down to what you want to add to your organization if you're looking for that guy.
Ross McLean from ISS Hockey, the head scout, joins us. Who do you have at number 5?
At number 5, we have William Nylander.
Now, it's always interesting because we don't see the Europeans very much, and a lot of them, I guess, it's a benefit at times because they're playing against men, you know, in their league, whereas these kids in North America are all playing against juniors. Over time, Ross, have you found, is it difficult to incorporate, you know, one or two Europeans in with 10 or 12 North American kids where you maybe have a better sense of who their level of competition is?
It can be. It does a couple things. One, the real important thing there is that he's playing against men. He's playing against a higher level of competition. So you have a different way of gauging it. And from the outside looking in, you're going to track statistics. You're going to see how, especially an offensive player, how they're performing at that level. But the second thing you need to consider there is that they play on big ice, especially in Sweden. Most of the rinks are Olympic-sized ice surfaces. So a playmaker has a lot more room to maneuver out there. It's a very different style of game. So there is a certain amount of risk associated with taking a playmaking style of offensive player or a creative offensive player and bringing them over to North America and expecting them to do the same thing right away. There is we've seen many times before that there's an adaptation process that fits into that mold. The fact that they play against men sometimes helps combat that stigma, but there's always questions. There's always that little flag there. There's always, and when it comes down to the draft, especially when you have a high pick like that, you don't like to take a whole lot of risk. Generally, the safer pick is the better pick. But there are teams who are willing to go for the boom or bust type of player. Nylander really falls in that category. He could come over and excel because of his high skill level and his ability to be so creative with the puck, but he could also have a hard time adjusting to a North American style of game. We've seen him play against North American players in international events, and he's done very, very well in all of those, with the under-17, under-18 tournament this year, where he was lighting up the scoring charts the entire tournament. So there's not a whole lot of concern in terms of measuring against his peers. He does have the advantage of playing against a higher level of competition and understanding what it means to be a professional, but he does play a game that has been successful on the big ice, and we don't know yet if that translates to the North American rink.
Ross, when you know you talk about the boom or bust factor and you know, safer picks, how many of these guys do you think right now would be NHL ready and guys who could compete right now who maybe don't need that one extra year of seasoning?
I'm always a guy who errs on the side of development, and I usually prefer to leave guys another year at least at their age group, and I don't think it hurts them, and I don't think the benefit of bringing them to the NHL outweighs that for the most part. With that being said, I believe Aaron Ekblad is ready. I think he was ready this year to step into an NHL lineup. I think you'll see something very similar to the time it took Seth Jones to adapt this year. And I think we saw in the World Championships this year, Seth Jones is a player that's capable of playing against men and you'd want at that level. I think we'll see a very similar thing from Ekblad. I think really the next player that anywhere close to me would be Draisaitl. Again, we saw him playing at the World Championships for Germany and doing very well. But his style of game, his size, his physical makeup, he's mature enough already that coming back and playing another year of junior may not be the worst thing for him, but it may not be the best thing. He might be ready for a new challenge. But other than those two, there's not a whole lot of players that I would recommend teams get excited about having in their lineup right away.
Give me your assessment of Sam Reinhart, you know, in depth. You mentioned he's a cerebral player. What does he do well that you think is going to translate to the NHL game? And then conversely, what's going to be the challenges?
What I really like about Sam Reinhart is his ability to think the game. When the puck's on his stick, he sees the ice extremely well. He doesn't really ever stand out because of skill. He's strong in every capacity of the game. He works hard in all zones. He understands how to play in all zones. Very intelligent positionally. Makes his teammates better, can play in all situations. There's not a whole lot you can't like about Sam Reinhart. We talk about what helps teams win. You might not have that flash and dash that excites fans all the time. There's certainly elements of it that are there, but he's the kind of guy that unsung hero that can control the puck, that can get the puck to good areas of the ice, that can find teammates, that finds open ice away from the puck to be an effective player. He can shoot, he can pass, he can skate. He can do everything that you need him to do. And we look now, and every time I do an interview and we talk about Sam Reinhart, I talk about this movement of advanced statistics that's going on right now. And this is a kid that people who understand those are going to love him. He's going to fit in there with the Patrice Bergeron, the Jonathan Toews, the Anze Kopitar type of player. He's just the kind of player that does the things that don't always stand out to the eye, but when you can quantify them, they add up to victories. And I think when you're a team, especially picking in the top 10 or in the top 5 or top 3, those are the kind of guys you want to have on your team. They're the guys that do the things that add up to having a winning organization.
Now can you do the same for Sam Bennett?
Sam Bennett, the value with Sam Bennett is the fire. We're seeing teams now where I talked about how valuable those players like Taves and Bergeron are. Well, we're seeing also players in the mold of Brad Marchand, Andrew Shaw, those types of players that are they're going to get in your face. They're going to come at you. If you hit them, they're going to hit you back. They're going to walk the line between clean and dirty to do what they can to create offense. Add the fact that he has significantly higher skill sets than those players and can think the game at a high speed and can execute at high speed, you get kind of a feel for what Sam Bennett could bring to a team. So he's the type of player that you need to create a game plan to stop, and even when you do that, he's going to throw you off it right away. So there's the fire that he brings to the game and the talent that he can back up with that can really make him a very difficult player to contain.
And now Leon Draisaitl.
Draisaitl, when I watch Draisaitl, he can be a mixture at times between a Joe Thornton, a Ryan Getzlaff, a Yager, a Malkin. He reminds me a lot of what we saw last year with Nichushkin. Really intelligent playmaker, can absolutely dominate on the puck. Very, very hard player to take the puck from. Seems to have eyes in the back of his head. He can see things from the ice level that you can't even tell up sitting where scouts like to sit up in the with the bird's eye view. He can find players all over the ice. He has an ability to turn it on and completely dominate games. He's shown it at every level we've seen him at so far, and there's no reason why we don't believe that that can't continue at the next level. So there's a lot of excitement there. He is one of those players that's shown some consistency issues during the year, times where he can dominate, times where he can disappear. But the fact that he has such a high ceiling makes him an extremely intriguing prospect and the type of player that could really turn a franchise around.
Ross McLean joins us. And so would he fall maybe on a slighter, smaller scale into the boomer bust like Nylander?
Yeah, I think he's a safer bet than Nylander. He's going to be a successful player at the next level. When you watch him, though, you see at times the potential that he has, and he can be frustrating because he doesn't always necessarily put in the efforts, but we're talking about an 18-year-old kid. That's pretty common. He's also the type of player that plays a more conservative style, so he has the same frustrations that we had with Ryan Getzlaff, that we had with Joe Thornton, that we had with Mario Lemieux. So he's not always going at 100%. He bides his time in certain instances, and we've seen, especially this year, a player like Getzlaff, just how effective that style can be for an offensive player.
Ross, and one last one for you. I really appreciate your time. Dell Coyle, you have as a center. A lot of people have said, you know, he's played the wing last year, maybe likely to play the wing. Do you think he's better as a winger or a centerman?
I absolutely think he's better as a winger. He's a very, very good center. I love the versatility, the fact that he can play both and play both effectively. But I do believe at the next level his appeal is really going to be as a winger. He's very strong. He's hard to knock off his stride. He's one of the only players that I actually watched go at Ekblad and actually knock him off his stride. So there's some significant power in his lower body. He has a deadly shot, but I don't feel he has the quickness in his feet to maybe be as successful in the middle at the next level.
Ross, excellent stuff. Once again, people want to, you know, they got a few weeks left before the draft. Where can they get your stuff?
We've got our draft guide coming out this week. It's isshockey.com.
We'll check it out. Ross, as always, great to talk to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime.